We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It was crazy for the fans to be allowed and experience that with this team. It would have been a shame if we couldn't do that. And I know it was only 6 or 700, but more than zero. We're excited for the fan base here. And I don't think guys really understand the meaning and the impact of winning a playoff game for this franchise. But at the same time, I think we're not in tune to that because we want to win more. One's not good enough for us, and we got to go find out a good way to put our best foot forward this week and try to go execute next week.
For the fans to stand behind this team the way they've done over the years, and the fans and how much noise they made today, even at 6,700, I guess, was the number. Incredible, man. Just you could feel it in the air, just the atmosphere and the environment. It was almost like it was full, especially down the stretch there, and just special. Only in Buffalo.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
You know, somebody just tweeted me a great point. I referenced this maybe after the game, but it's right about the way the Colts played the last series. As they're driving down, we talked about the Hail Mary thing and all that, but as they're driving down, they have a lot of things happen in the final 30 seconds or so. A lot of things happen. There was 26 seconds left. They throw the ball to the sideline. I think it was Pascal who caught it. He gets tackled with 19 seconds left, but he goes out of bounds. I should say he goes out of bounds with 19 seconds left. And then all of a sudden, the clock starts, and the next snap takes place with 14 seconds left. A lot of people said, what happened there? What's going on? Here's what happened. I didn't realize it either until I went back and watched. It was on the far side of the field. He actually fumbled the ball, and it went backward out of bounds. He fumbled the ball out of bounds. He got hit before he got to the sideline. Somebody did a great job knocking the ball loose. It went back. It went out of bounds. So they have to stop the clock for a brief second to reset to get the ball. But then they got to start running it and winding it because he fumbled in the field of play. Inside 2 minutes. And I mean, I have to go look if that's the same rule inside 2 minutes or whatever. But he fumbled inside 2 minutes of play. He fumbled the ball inside the field of play, I should say. So even though there were 19 seconds left when he went out of bounds, he actually fumbled the ball right at that moment. They have to rewind. They have to start the clock. They don't get the out of bounds there. So now the clock goes with 14 seconds left. And Phillip Rivers throws two passes out of bounds to the sideline. One goes into the net, actually. They had time. Now, I understand you're going to probably lose one play here. You have a choice if you're Phillip Rivers in this situation. You have a choice to throw only to the sideline where, you know, you have a very slim chance to get it as the Bills are defending. Twice, you could do that, which is what he chose. He chose to do that. Or, to me, I thought the better option was use the whole field. Don't care about where you're throwing it. You have 14 seconds. Get 10 yards. Get up and spike it. You can easily throw it 10 yards downfield, get tackled, get up and spike it, and have plenty of time to kick a long field goal. I thought they mismanaged that. I thought Phillip Rivers was way too concerned with the sideline. Yes, I know he would have had probably one less play than what he got, but they would have actually had a chance for a field goal. Because the Bills were, I'm not going to say giving them that, but they were defending the sideline. The middle of the field was more open. The Colts could have done that. But hey, that's part of the game. That's strategy, and you know that's how the Colts played it, and it worked out for the Bills. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Let's start us off right now with Tom in NT. What's up, brother?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How was the game for you?
Oh, man. You know, that's what I wanted to call and talk about, just that atmosphere. And, you know, and I've had these season tickets for 20 years and been going off and on for 40. I've never quite seen an atmosphere like that with, you know, obviously about 10% of fans. And I thought the noise they were able to make, at least where I was sitting and it was in the end zone and those bleachers can be a bit louder. I thought it was great. And I thought the Bills, the way they did it and spread stuff out and had people coming in and out, I thought it all worked great.
I thought so as well, Tom. I thought there was a good plan in place. I was outside. I was inside. doing my pregame stuff. I saw people walking in. There wasn't like massive people hanging out together. They had certain times you had to go in. I thought everything seemed pretty orderly in how it was done.
Yeah, you know, and it seemed to go really well. And you know, hopefully they, you know, I haven't heard anything formal. People can get in this week. And hey, who knows? Maybe the Browns can win and they can get in next week. But I mean, it was an atmosphere like I haven't seen. I had a great time. It was one of the best times I've had a game. Obviously, it helps they win. And, you know, you get out, and heck, it's even nice to get out and, you know, there's no traffic to fight in your home in half an hour. Although
I hear you, buddy. I hear you. Absolutely.
All, you know, 75,000 Bills fans, friends there, but it was also nice to, I didn't see one Colts jersey. It's always nice not to see any opposing fans.
That's really funny, too. You're right about that. That's an underrated part of how they're doing this, because you're really not going to have much an opportunity if you're an opposing team fan to come. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I just thought that it was so much fun and it was so great. And I, you know, I don't know how it sounded down in the field or where you were, but it was, at least where I was, I thought, wow, this is pretty loud for 6,700.
Louder than I thought it would be, I'll tell you that. It was cool. It was really cool. You know when it first hit me? The very first drive when the train horn came on, when the Colts came out, I'm like, oh, my God, this is actually pretty loud here.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought, too. So.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, and how's the voice? Everything good?
Yeah, you know, I started to slowly get it back yesterday. It was a bit rough at first, you know. At least it was a, you know, for this time of the year, it was a beautiful day, which helps when it's not 15 out and you're screaming like that. So, but it started to come back yesterday.
All right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right, let's head out to Chuck.
Come back this way.
Chuck, you okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, good, bud. Now you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen, I was talking to some friends right after the when they completed their season, and I said my feeling was that after that Arizona game and they ran the streak, I said they're going to have a down game. Their first game, I was dreading it. I said it's going to be a down game, and hopefully they can come through it. So they did, and now I just got a feeling that they're going to run the gauntlet. They're going to do it.
You know, it's funny. You know, I think about this too, Chuck, which is, and I said this earlier, it's not supposed to be easy, right? You have to go through these kinds of struggles along the way. Winning championships is hard. Advancing on, you're playing good teams. But if you think back to, you know, whatever team it is in any sport that won a championship, oftentimes you'll find a game where they didn't have their best stuff. They still found a way, right? They still pulled it out. It's the difference maybe on how they got there. I remember specifically, for example, and I don't know if you follow college basketball, but there was a game back in the 90s where there was a guy named Tyus Edney for the UCLA Bruins, and they were down 2 points with like 5 seconds left. He takes the ball from one end of the court to the other, an amazing buzzer beater, and they go on. That was the first round. They go on to win the NCAA tournament after almost having that upset in round one. After that, nobody touched him, basically.
Yeah, I just got a feeling that they're confident. After that game, I said to myself, you know, every team, including Pittsburgh, when they went through that 11-1 or that 11 streak, you get a down game. And this seemed to be that down game. And that's what I thought. Now, I think now their confidence is back up. They're going to figure out what they did, whatever they did wrong Saturday. And we're gonna fly right through this.
You know, there's also something, Chuck, if I may, there might be something to the fact of all week they heard about 1995, haven't won a game in 25 years. And I think that can creep in a little bit, you know, and you have a little bit of that weight on your shoulders. You try not to, you say you don't, but I think once you win, you kind of relieve yourself. And you know what it's like to me? Beating the New England Patriots the first time. They were better than the Patriots, but they were tight. And it came down to the end. And once they did, they don't have to worry anymore. Then they go to Foxborough and smack them around.
Right. So anyway, that was my thoughts. You have a good show, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Good thoughts right there. I appreciate that. Let's head out to Jason in Hamburg. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Phil. How you doing? This is Jason. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted to call into you and first, thank you for bringing attention to me on Twitter. I'm the Bills crying guy.
That is your name from now on, Jason. So you are the guy, so everybody knows, that if you watch ESPN and SportsCenter and all the highlights after the game, you kind of became symbolic for Bills fans because you were the guy crying towards the end of the game that they kept showing.
Yeah, that was me. I mean, it was just one of those things where I just sort of overcame with emotion and the fact of, like thinking about all the terrible things from, like, you know, home run throwback to Ronnie Harmon to wide right and, like, the mockery of the, you know, the community of the sports. And now, like, you're overcome with the fact that, like, we're not a loser anymore. We're a team, and we have a legitimate chance this year. And, you know, all the people that couldn't be there with us, you know, only 6,700 people could be there instead of 73,000, and all past relatives that are at home or have seen and left that, you know, can't be there anymore, and just soaked it all in, and it was just sort of overcome. Sort of funny to see myself cry on TV and then just get so many positive responses from Bill's Mafia and all of it too.
Okay, well, Jason, I want you to, let's give you a little love here in case everybody, throw out your Twitter handle. What's your Twitter handle in case anybody wants to get in touch?
Sure. So I'm at JPokeBaby. So you spell my last name, P-O-C-H. So at JayPokeBaby.
Okay, so it's JayPokeBaby, JPokeBaby. Yep. Here's the other thing now. Okay, now I normally do this at the very end of the show, and you're not going to believe this. This is true. Today I was going to make you my buddy. Hey, buddy. Jay, so I'm going to play the open. I'm going to play the introduction. I want you to stay on the line. So hold on, Jason. Let's listen to this, and then I'll bring you back on. Go ahead.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
Jay Polk, for representing Bill's Mafia with all your emotion, and the reason you're my buddy this week is because you are not only not embarrassed by it, you are actually proud of it, and I love that. I love the fact that you can be like that and represent a lot of what Bills fans were thinking and feeling at that very time, and for you to not only, you're not shying away from it, you're accepting of it, and I think that's so cool, man.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I just, you know, it's, but the funny thing is like, I get home and, you know, my wife's like, you were on national TV crying, and she goes, I'm not surprised. You cried everything. She goes, it's a good, you cried when our three kids were born, you know, so yeah.
Well, Jay, you're my buddy this week. I appreciate it, and I think a lot of Bills fans related to you, so I'm glad that you were able to accept that, you know, and not shy away from it and be embarrassed or anything, because there's nothing to be embarrassed about, buddy.
Not at all. I'm glad that, you know, it, part of me giggles. It's like, I guess I'm part of Bill's history, you know?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I'll tell you, when pregame, I got choked up. I got teary-eyed and choked up on the air. And I talked about just seeing the fans in the stadium, and I got like that, and I'm not embarrassed to it either. I'm a grown man, and I'm an adult, and I do this for a living, and it was something for me because I think we all understood what that moment meant for everybody.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, just honestly, just seeing all the emotion of everybody in the stands, excited beforehand. I don't know if it was mentioned, Sal, earlier, but, like, nobody sat the entire game.
Yeah.
I mean, you sat maybe during, like, a quick break or something like that, but nobody sat. It felt like a September game with everyone so excited to be there.
You know what? Maybe we'll retire the Jordan crying guy and just put Bill's crying guy on people's faces from now on. You know what I mean? That'd be cool.
Right. You know, we keep winning. The world has my permission.
All right. Thanks, Jay. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Dale.
All right. Bye. Yeah. At JPokeBaby. There you go. The crying Bills guy. Bill's crying guy. He is my buddy this week. I mean, that was cool. And thanks to Warlock, who's called the show a lot, LaShawn. He was the one, he kind of sleuthed it and said, who is this guy? And I'm sure other people found out, but I follow Warlock. And when he said, hey, I found the guy, it's this guy, it's Jay. And then I'm like, hey, everybody, it's Jay. He's the crying guy. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. And you know what? Again, the best part was the reason I made him my buddy, I really did. I was going to make him my buddy anyway and say, this is my buddy this week, JPokeBaby, was because just of how he embraced it. That's the word I've been looking for the last 3 minutes. He embraces it. He's not even embarrassed by it, which he shouldn't be. He's embracing it. And I think that's so cool, man. We'll go over it again when I do Hey Buddy later, but I'll just remind everybody who it is. Chris in Maryland. Hi, Chris. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Sal? Let me start by saying that game was so stressful, man. Oh my God, dude. I when I say my legs were weak, that's the kind of stress I was in. I mean, you know, my wife was like, it's only a football game. I looked at her, the look I gave her was something else. I said, it's bigger than that when it comes to my bill.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
And that guy emotion, Jason felt, man, look, I felt every bit of that. I can definitely empathize, and I definitely dig it, because I almost felt like I wanted to cry. But I want to ask you, do you think the defense will, I would say, tune up the – I don't know. To me, it was a rough game. The Colts got a very balanced team. I mean, they just kind of really went at us. Saturday. I want to know your take on that before I get to my next question.
The question is what then? What do you think that as far as Bills taking on their run game, what the Ravens will do?
Will our defense at least bounce back overall? Because
here's the way I'll put it this way to you, Chris. So the Colts are a different team than the Ravens. Obviously, the Ravens are a very good running team. We know that, and the Bills have had some issues. However, they don't throw the ball like the Colts. Lamar Jackson as a passer does not threaten you the way that Phillip Rivers can. And I know Rivers isn't the same guy, but Phillip Rivers can still throw the football, and Lamar is not quite that passer. You know, he can still he's okay. He passes just good enough, right? So to me, this is a game where you have to commit more to the run. And then say, we're going to dare you to beat us through the air. If you can do that, then great. But we're going to bank on you not doing that. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to shut them down to 100 yards rushing. But if you can hold this team to not having the kind of day that they would like to have running the ball and force Lamar to have to throw key passes on key downs, I think that's how you get to your victory.
Gotcha. And my last one, I'm not to be a conspiracy theorist or nothing, but the referees, it's almost like they made that call on that fumble or non-call. It's like, we want to make this exciting as possible. Let's just go ahead and go to the end of the game. Man, that was the most craziest thing I've ever seen.
I still can't believe they didn't overturn it. And thank God this team did not lose the game because of it.
Yeah, that was heart-wrenching. I was like, you got to be kidding. And then when they threw the Hail Mary, my son said, oh, my God. Here we go. And when I seen him, he batted down with such authority. I said, that's it. And the sad part is, if he batted down lightly, that other tight end was coming up for the Colts. I was like, oh, my God. That was such a game. So, look, man, I'm not too hyped. I'm hyped for Saturday. But, you know, the Ravens, they concern me a good deal.
Sure, they should.
But, yeah, they concern me.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, Chris. That was a really good team the Bills faced on Saturday. And they were really well coached. Like, you know, that give them a lot of credit, too.
Yep, and let me shout out my son real quick. He said last year, because he wore his Frank Wright jersey when we lost it to the Texans, he said, Daddy, I can't wear that jersey this week. I don't want to jinx him. I said, that's fine. So we went throwback. He wore his Thurman Thomas, and I wore
my nice.
So we got that W.
All right, man. Well, give the little guy a high five, man.
We'll do. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. All right, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, these people are calling in right now, Chris and everybody else. You know, Jay called in a little while ago. Just got a tweet from Mike in Hudson Valley to picture him crying. It's great, man. Like they represent so much of what we were all feeling, right? And I felt it too. You know, in this position, I'm very privileged to be able to do what I can do. But, you know, and I know, reporter, not a fan, all that kind of stuff. I mean, okay, but you're human. Anybody who's human had to feel what was going on in that game and that stadium. I don't care if you're a reporter, a fan, or just some person off the street. If you were there, like if you saw it, it had to move you, some sort of emotion in you as a human being. I don't know how it can't, especially if you know like about the Buffalo Bills and what this community and that team mean to each other. I said on the radio this morning with Howard and Jeremy, I'll repeat the story. So I'm at the game. I go down to the moat where I do my broadcasting from, and Kim Jones is there from NFL Network. And I've gotten to know Kim over the years because she comes to Buffalo a lot and covers games. So I walked up and I said, hey, and she looks at me. She goes, oh, hey, how are you, Sal? Whatever. We start talking and all that kind of stuff. And I said, is this not cool? And the look on her face, she said, this is amazing. She said, this is unlike any game I've covered this year. I just think that was so cool. She even recognized it. That's NFL Network. That's somebody who goes to all these stadiums, you know, doesn't have a horse in the race, you know? I thought that was really cool. Let's go to Mike in Akron. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, good. How are you, Sal?
Good, thank you.
Hey, awesome, man. I mean, always dig the show, and, I'd want to talk a little bit about the offensive calling plays.
Yep.
And just, I guess, really more the cherry on top, you know what I mean? I mean, everything's been a great season and this and that, and I'm not a Debbie Downer. It just, if we could just got, a couple of those series where, you got offensively all the weapons and, second down, third down, slant in, get it. I mean, just,
Yeah, I don't disagree. I thought, I as I went over earlier, Mike, I said I didn't think it was Dable's best day. I didn't enjoy the, I did not like the short yardage play calling. I agree with you. But at the same time, I will tell you this. If you're going to call a run on third and two, you should be expected to pick up the run. I mean, you know, we can say that, and I agree with you, but you also have to execute better to get 2 yards. It's 2 yards.
I agree.
You know, I mean, like, it only takes you so far. So, yes, I'd like to see him bounce back and have a better day. I thought that it was not his best day. But it's also, I don't want to be, and I don't think anybody should be a creature of the moment here. He has been fantastic. He has been one of, if not the best, offensive coordinators in the entire league this year. I don't think it's an indictment on his season. I just think this particular game, there were a couple of times where I questioned it.
I agree, and that's why I'm just saying that's the cherry on top.
Yep.
I wasn't even... to be honest with you, I mean, it was a great game. I really wasn't really nervous, except for, you know, because you're still even up 14 points. And then you come down to get that easy touchdown, and you're like, okay, all right, well, we just got to, you know, I mean, so, and that was, that streak, you know, what, 85% of the game already? So it was just, you know, I guess I'm only worried that I don't want to get into this nervous Nelly and being, you know, shy and, you know, we're going up against the Ravens. So, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get behind with the Ravens. I really don't, you know.
No, I hear you. You can't. You got to, even the Titans kept saying, score first. They did. They still lost. But you're right. You can't let them dictate the game if they get up, because they will with that run game. There's no doubt. So, thanks.
If we get up, then they have to.
That's exactly right. Then they have to play catch up and do something they don't want to do. You get them out of their comfort zone.
Playing what they're doing.
Yep.
And they come up. I mean, I'm not really worried, but I guess if you're looking at getting that monkey off your back for 25 years, because I've been through the thick and thin, so I understand maybe that was, like you said, I didn't really think much about it. Like, maybe that is the game, like it was against New England, and you're finally getting it, and maybe it's just now it's just a throttle down. But I'm not, I guess, because we're not used to seeing that, where you got, like, look, we used to do third and 30 and we'd get it.
Yeah. Hey, man, I got to run. Thanks for the phone call, Mike.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's shout out to John, who's up next in Tonawanda. Hi, John.
Hey, Sal, how you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Sal, I just want to dovetail what you were talking about to a previous caller about Indianapolis. Well coached. That really is a good, solid football team.
It is.
And
You know what? I had a lot of respect for Frank Reich before the game. I have even much more respect now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for those breaks, you know, the fourth and one overthrow, missed field goal. You know, and we had bad field position to start off. I mean, what did we have, like 5 inside the 15 or 10 or whatever? I mean,
The average starting field position was the 15. The average starting field position in the first half, I think, was the 7-yard line for the Bills.
Yeah. I mean, it was, and we really couldn't get much going there.
And by the way, let me say, I'll be the first. You guys know I love Andre Roberts and what he brings, but he wasn't very good on Saturday either. He helped contribute to that.
Absolutely. And that's where you got to give the Colts the credit. You know, if we're putting us in that position and keeping that offense down, you can't really take the chances inside your 10-yard line as you can when you're starting at your 25, 30, or 40-yard line.
100%.
So, I honestly feel that Indianapolis, I didn't really want to face them. I saw them like, oh, you have to be kidding me.
Right.
I honestly think that Indianapolis would have beat any other AFC team this weekend.
You know what? I don't doubt it. I don't think you're wrong there. I think they could have. Here's the difference, and this is what I think that the way you can look at it, if you want to be, John, if you want to be a really optimistic, as you're saying, you're right, but if anybody out there wants to look at it in a really good way, here's the way I would put it. The Bills have a much wider margin for error than most teams they play because they're better. And the Colts, as good as they were, their margin for error was very slim. But guess what? They made just enough of those errors to create that margin.
Exactly. You know, and that's what I want to, you know, bring out as well. I mean, we had the lowest margin of victory this weekend, but we did enough to, you know, to get us through. And that's a mark, like you said, of a great team, you know, meaning the Bills. And then Indianapolis, man, I mean, they're going to be something to be reckoned with.
Yeah, we'll see what happens going forward with Rivers. They got some decisions to make. Thanks. I really appreciate the phone call, John.
All right, Sal.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. I want to throw some stats at you from this game when we come back, because you're not going to believe it. If I tell you some of the things that happened in this game, you're like, wait a minute, what? Seriously? It in some ways, it was like, maybe is, wow, yeah, they didn't have their A game as much as you thought. And in other ways, it's like, really? The Bills did that? I didn't realize they played that well, because They actually did have a very efficient offensive day, and I'll explain what I mean when we come back on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I kind of talked about it a little bit earlier in this year that we had some young guys that could play and that could step up and play some good football. So it was no surprise to me or any of the guys on the team. It's because we've seen Gabe make catches, we've seen Gabe make plays. So seeing him make plays for our team, it just shows you that we got some guys that can move our games.
That's Stephon Diggs post-game after the Bills' 27-24 win over the Indianapolis Colts to advance on to the divisional round. We got all the coverage for you at WGR550.com. Check out our website right there. And, of course, we're talking about it here on the Extra Point Show, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, brought to you in part by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you, and Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Sal Capaccio here, and Donnie is on the line from Florida. Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Sal. How are you doing, sir?
Good, bud. Thanks.
Listen, I just wanted to, my wife and I and both work in the healthcare field, and I got to tell you, all you guys at WGR, this last year has been horrible, and you guys have been the bright, shining moment for that has just, like, driven us through this, you guys and the team, and I wanted to call and say thanks first and foremost.
Well, thank you, but, you know, it's a two-way street. You know, people like you, callers, fans that we can interact with, you know, we help each other, and I think that's what, you know, being human is all about, right? Helping each other whenever we can. And whether that's physically or emotionally, sometimes just talking like this when you call a show, sometimes reaching out, you know, texting someone, calling someone, checking in on someone. That's what life's all about, right, Donnie?
Wow, I'm going to try not to cry, man.
Yeah, no, I get it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Real quick about the game, not that I'd ever say that COVID was a blessing in disguise about anything, but to see Josh Allen this year mature, and I know he has lots of pieces around him, but to have no fans in the stands, and he didn't do hero ball at all this year, which was amazing to see him progress as a quarterback.
Yeah,
I did have a small worry on the first touchdown of the game that we were going to kind of go back to that and kind of run into the same history. But I also will say that at the end of the game, I've pre-warned all my neighbors across the fences here in Florida that, if you hear screaming coming from my house, don't call the police. I'm just watching
it. That's hilarious. You know, what's funny is, obviously, I'm at the games. My wife tells me last week and again this week or whatever it was when they won the division maybe, but she said she hears, like, horns going off. And here's the funny part. The cable that we're on, the way we do it, it's a little bit behind. She goes, I know when things are happening because I hear them. I hear the horns and people screaming a minute before they happen. It's pretty funny. Then she watches and she knows. So you're right. I get it. And you know, it was really cool seeing some of the videos of people celebrating and things like that. It kind of reminded me of when they broke the drought. Not quite to that level, of course, but you know, people are very happy. And there's a lot of Bills fans everywhere, like you down in Florida, right? I mean, come on. It's not just here in Western New York.
Well, next time you guys are down visiting, feel free to stop in the firehouse, man. I'll give you guys a nice tour.
All right, Donnie. What part of Florida are you in?
Venice.
Oh, really? You're down there? Well, guess what? I'll be there in a month. I'll be there not a month. Yeah, a little over. We're scheduled. My mother-in-law still lives in Venice. My parents actually just moved back to Rotunda, where I still have a house. I lived there for a while. And, you know, so actually we're scheduled to come down there after the football season. Let's put it that way.
Well, hit the firehouse on the island in Venice and stop in and say hello.
Donnie, I'll try and do that, buddy. Thank you. That's awesome. That's great. Awesome. Venice, yeah, right there, a little south of Sarasota. Yeah, I plan on it. But, you know, obviously we got a lot of things in the work. You have everything going on with COVID and all that kind of stuff. We'll be safe, but it's not till after football. So I'm not putting myself in any sort of, you know, situation here, intentionally or unintentionally. Let's put it that way. Let's go to Tim, who's next up in Cheektowaga. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing today, Sal? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Listen, the two quick points I wanted to make. Number one, I was impressed with the Bills' poise, calm,
And what really stood out to me was how, can you hear me okay?
I can. Yeah, you were a little muffled, but that's a little better.
Okay. Calm breeds calm. And after the game, I listened to the post-game comments. And, you know, Josh and Stephon Diggs and Beasley were very, very calm, not overly elated, very businesslike. Josh kept saying things like, we still have some things we have to clean up. And I'm sure he was referring to the to mishap, his only mishap of the whole game. But the point I'm making is you can tell this team is focused on the bigger picture. So even though they won, there was no – they weren't popping champagne. You know, it wasn't – they were not overly exuberant. They were satisfied because it's a victory they were expecting to get. And so that's really good to see that they're even-keeled and level-headed about this kind of victory. And as far as the Ravens game, I definitely caught what you were saying, and I agree with you 100%. If we can build a lead and reduce them to where – Lamar has to be a quarterback. He can't be the running quarterback. I think that the Bills have a chance of prevailing and actually having, you know, because we've been blowing teams out in December. So to get into a nail biter, it's been a while. But I really believe that if we can build a lead, because the Ravens are not built to erase deficits. They're built to grind it out, methodical, that sort of thing. If we can just build a lead and not have that horrible field position, I think we can beat this team and perhaps beat them soundly, even though they're a very good team. So that's all I wanted to say. Appreciate you taking my call.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much for the phone call, Tim. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. He said a lot there. I'll just let what he said speak for itself. I love the confidence. I think it's going to be a tough game, but hey, there's no doubt. The Bills, look, put yourself, sometimes I think of it this way. What if I was on Baltimore radio today? You know what I'd be thinking about? Whew, boy, I hope that wind slows down the Bills' offense. Hope that snow slows down the Bills' offense. Man, how are we going to deal with Josh Allen? That's what I'd be thinking about and talking about today if I was on Baltimore radio. There are two teams playing here. One of them has Lamar Jackson in a really great running game. The other one has Josh freaking Allen in a great passing game. Let's go to Chris in Perrysburg. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing this morning, Sal?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, man, Josh is just he is the MVP. In my eyes, he's the MVP of the league. The way he has carried this team, he has been the most valuable player to his team this season.
I can understand it. I don't think he'll get it. I think there's a great argument for Rodgers, but I'm not going to fight anybody who says Josh should get it. I think he's right there.
Oh, I agree. Also, my take, we can beat the Ravens this week. We got to make Lamar be that quarterback.
That's right.
Beat us with his legs. We need to commit to stopping the run.
You mean make him beat you with his arm is what you meant. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Make him try to throw to Dez Bryant, Hollywood Brown. But let our corner, I have full confidence in our corners that they can defend on receivers, no problem.
You know, I think I like the Bills, the matchup there as well, the Bills in the secondary. I am interested, though. We talk a lot. Here's the thing, Chris. We've talked a lot about, we will talk, how to beat Lamar. I'm interested in how the Ravens defend the Bills, because remember last year they played that cover zero, and that was like the game where people said, oh, yep, look at that. Look what the Ravens did. That's what teams need to do against the Bills. They played cover zero. They manned everybody up. I don't think you can do that anymore. I think the Bills have too many weapons to try and do that now.
You can't man Diggs, Brown, and Beasley.
Correct. And Davis, too, now. Throw him in there.
Absolutely. And maybe we see Kenny Stills this weekend.
You never know. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sal.
All right. We're going to take one more here. Let's go to Derek in South Carolina. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call, man.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on that Gabriel Davis. I thought he was outstanding on them sidelines. And just, you know, I think, what was it, three plays in a row or two plays in a row, they had to go underneath the hood because they thought one catch was incomplete and one catch was complete.
It's amazing. I write my arrow up, arrow down column after every game. And in the arrow up, I didn't give Gabe Davis an arrow up. I gave Gabriel Davis's toes an arrow up.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. That was just absolutely amazing.
He was like a ballet dancer. I mean, seriously, there's an art to doing that, and he has the art down for sure.
Oh, no doubt. And Josh Allen just put it on a dime, man. I mean, it was outstanding. I thought our team played a great game. And like you've been saying all day, you know, Indianapolis is a well-coached team. We beat a good team.
You did. They did. They beat a good team. And I think there's a lot of things to be optimistic about, but it's a challenge, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, that's a good team. It's going to be a really good game, Derek.
Yes, sir, and I hope everything goes well with Baltimore, and go Buffalo.
All right, thank you, buddy. I appreciate the phone call. I teased the fact that I'd give you guys a stat about the Bills, and probably you didn't realize that they were so good offensively. They were very efficient, I should say, offensively, because they were. Let me tell you, the Bills on offense against the Colts. They ran 58 plays, 58, for 397 yards. Compare that to the Colts, who ran 76 plays for 472. The Bills ran 18 less plays. But the Bills averaged 6.8 yards per offensive play. Now, to put that in perspective for you, I want to tell you, I know it doesn't seem like it. It really doesn't, right? 6.8 off yards per offensive play was the, if you go through the regular season, the third highest total the Bills have had all season. Is that not incredible? I think it's the third. It could be the fourth. I got to look right here at 6.8. I got it right here. So yards per offensive play for the Bills this season. They had, here we go. They had, they crushed Miami. Incredible. 11.4 in week number two. That's just unheard of, okay? Yards per offensive play this season. It was a little bit less than I thought. Okay, they had a few other games there, but it wasn't that bad at all. I'm looking at some of the stats now. But it was really nice. They were much more efficient than I thought. 6.2 yards against defense. What did they give up? Maybe this is the stat I was trying to find here. Okay, hold on. Let me find this. Hold on a second. I got you, folks. I got you. 6.2 yards per defensive play given up. I think that was the one that actually, there you go. So 6.8 yards offensive play wasn't bad. But 6.2 yards defensive play given up. That was also very efficient. I mean, they played a better game than you think because it didn't look aesthetically. And I just screwed up the stats, and I'm sorry about that. But either way, I'm trying to do 10 things at once. But they played a more efficient game than you realize is what I'm trying to get. And Josh Allen specifically was very, very good. The run game was not that good. Josh Allen was. They made plays when they needed to make them. Josh's what, yards per attempt was also really high in the game. You know, there was a lot, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. The Bills' margin for error is bigger than most teams because they're that good and talented. Other teams have to play a much more perfect game, if you will, to beat the Bills. And the Colts almost did, but they made just enough mistakes. As good as the Colts played, they made just enough mistakes that the Bills won. And I think that's a really good way to look at it. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Sit up. Stand down. I already did, hey, buddy, but I'll go over it again when we come back on WGR.
Walking into the locker room after the game, this has been a blessing. It's been a blessing to be here with these guys. We've worked so hard in a crazy COVID year to get to the point where we are. You know, it's just a blessing that I'm able to go home and my wife was here, my son was here for his first game. To get that win was important. Even pregame, I was kind of getting choked up a little bit just because throughout the last 4 years, what we've been able to do with this organization and this community, you know, it's just amazing.
All right, let me correct myself real quick because I was right when I said it, but then I was looking at the wrong stat when I was reading it. All right, I was originally right, and I'm glad I said it the way I said it, but now I have to correct just to make sure I'm on the same page because I sounded like an idiot when I was trying to go over it earlier. I might sound like an idiot anyway. The Bills gained 6.8 yards per offensive play against the Colts. I know it might not seem like it. That's actually the fourth highest yards per play that they've averaged this season. They were efficient on offense. They just did not have the ball very long, but that was the right stat. I was just looking at the wrong one when I thought maybe I made a mistake to read it back, and I'm like, oh man, I tweeted that out earlier. I shouldn't have done that. Okay, real quick. Sit up, stand down, hey buddy. We went over hey buddy earlier, so we don't have to do that again. That is JPokeBaby on Twitter. He is the Bills crying guy, JPokeBaby, JAYPOCHBABY. He impromptu called. I didn't know he was going to do that. I made him my buddy. I was already going to make him my buddy. All right, let's get to sit up and stand down. Can we play some NFL music here? We can do that because I want to talk about the NFL. Let's sit up on these young quarterbacks winning playoff games and what the future looks like in the young quarterback department, especially in the AFC. Lamar, Baker, Josh Allen. Wait, we're going to see Trevor Lawrence soon in the conference. I mean, the AFC is going to be loaded. Justin Herbert, of course. Joe Burrow. Shall I go on? Who else? Tua? I don't know. We'll talk about him in a second. There are some. Drew Lock doesn't look great, but come on. The AFC is loaded with these young quarterbacks, and I think we're in for a really interesting next 10 years of football with all these guys going at it, trying to jockey for position. Oh, yeah, I missed Mahomes. He was at the top of the list, but I didn't count him. But you know about him already. Patrick Mahomes, of course, can't forget him. Let's stand down. There was a report over the weekend that Deshaun Watson would accept a trade to the Miami Dolphins? Please, dear God, do not let that happen. I mean, is this some big con by Bill Belichick to send Nick Caserio to Houston to trade Deshaun to the Miami Dolphins because they just hate the Bills so much and they want the Bills to have to face them twice a year? That guy's amazing. And if he goes to the Miami Dolphins, because word is Chris Mortensen reported this. This isn't some like, you know, message board rumor. This is Chris Mortensen who said, hey, we know that Deshaun's been unhappy with the organization, the search, the head coach situation. They're not listening to him. They said they would. All that kind of stuff. We had heard those reports. And now we hear, and what Chris Mortensen reported was, his new contract has a no-trade clause. But one trade he would accept is to the Miami Dolphins. And the Dolphins would send back Tua and a bunch of draft picks. And guess what? The Dolphins have the Houston Texans draft picks. They have the first-round pick, which is third overall. They have their second-round pick. Don't let it happen. I do not want the Bills to have to face Deshaun Watson twice a year. Okay with them facing Tua right now. The Dolphins already are building a nice roster. So please stand down. Deshaun, stand down on any trade talk. And anybody in Houston, do not trade him to the Miami Dolphins. Trade him outside the conference. That'd be great. He's the other guy, by the way. Deshaun, I went through all these young quarterbacks. My gosh. What do we got on Saturday? Here's your schedule, in case you don't know. Starts off in the NFC. It's going to be Rams at Packers. That's your 4:35 game. Then we have the game here in Buffalo, Ravens at Bills, 8:15 kickoff. Browns at Chiefs on Sunday. We will know. Let's say if the Bills win on Saturday, we're going to sit back and relax and say, all right, are we going to Kansas City or is Cleveland coming to Buffalo for the AFC Championship game? And then Sunday night, Breeze against Brady. By the way, young quarterbacks in the AFC, it's the veterans and the older guys in the NFC, and they're still going at it. Breeze and Brady. And Rodgers is still there. Thanks for tuning in. We got One Bills Live up next. Chris and Steve and Maddie and the gang down there. Show up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock on a Buffalo Football Monday on WGR.